Well, thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. I've got my great Eagles fan, Dave Donaldson, as my partner in crime today. And I'm sorry about your Eagles. And I'm just, you know, then again, I get beat by the other dirty birds, the Ravens, this past week. So my point being is I'm so thankful and grateful to have Aaron and Josh from One Residential on today to talk about business planning and specifically to really hammer home like the importance of a plan. And then some tactics or tips and tricks for your success over the coming year. So, Aaron, Josh, thanks for the time. And I'm just going to throw it over to you. Like, when you think about planning and business and execution and success, like, how does that fold in for you? Like, how, what's your framework on it?
Yeah, I mean, without a goal, where are you headed, right? So without knowing what you want to accomplish, how do you feel good about what you did? Or how do you know what to adjust for next year? I think it's really important to be very clear about what your intentions are in business. I think when I first started, I'm like, I didn't know when I was going to sell a house. I didn't know what it was going to look like. And I wasn't at a company that really focused on that either. I was at a small company that wasn't Keller Williams. When I came over to Keller Williams, I was like, oh, there's systems and models for this. And I can actually figure this out with the help of those things. And it's really important to know where you're headed, or else you don't know if you got there.
And it's crazy, right? Because back in the day, you wouldn't get in the car and drive. You know, if you're on the East Coast, you're not going on a trip to the West Coast and not bring a map, right? Right now, you would never jump in the car without your phone and put in the GPS where you're going. So like, ultimately, what we're talking about is like your roadmap.
Yeah, you got to break out business. That Rand McNally.
Oof.
dating yourself big time.
Property, like, see you without the GPS. I don't think you get
MapQuest.
You have to stop the
Oh, MapQuest. Did you print out the MapQuest, honey?
That was my dad's favorite. Print off the MapQuest.
So, yeah, when we put some plans in place, right? And we heard about the merger and how much planning went into that from the growth of your relationship to a two-year plan, right? And how do we structure an organization of 40 people and collaborate at a high level? Now when we step into having been through this, you know, 13 months, okay, how do you start having conversations about, okay, we did that, we achieved or exceeded our goals for year one. How do we plan goals and set business plans on top of that? What do those conversations look like?
Yeah. So we're big believers in the 135, which is the GPS, which if you're not Kellerized, that's ultimately your roadmap for your business, your overarching look over the forest, if you will, right? And so we're very purposeful in two different ways. When we look at our agents, we always have a retreat at the end of the year for business planning. Like we help them plan their business. Then we do the same thing. We have a leadership planning meeting, like strategic planning meeting, 2025 planning meeting, however you want to call it. And we always do this outside of the office so that we can be clear and not muddled by all the noise and everything else. And we strategically go through and we write a 135 every year. I actually can see the team's 135 from my computer. It's on the wall. It's literally staring at us every day. And so we know the importance of knowing where we're going. Like I'm looking at it right now. From last year, we said we're going to do 300 million 500 units, which we're going to hit that. And the three part. So the three priorities we have: lead generation, systems, and growth. And then underneath that, we've got all the different priorities to hit each one. So we do this every year. There's nothing that would stop us from doing this, because we know how important it is. And also from the fact of the matters that we're modeling for our agents, we're doing the right things.
Yeah. Parents. Even before this collaboration, not marriage, Damon, we'll change your scripts. Even before this, we actually have taken our teams to Lake Anna, where there's no cell phone service. They struggle on the deck to try to get their calls. And we've had a sleepover retreat. We spend about 4 days there with both teams. We've done this since 2019. And so even before we were one, we did this every year, and we have a mid-year retreat as well, which we do in the office. It's a little scaled down because, you know, it's taking 40 people to really get us. But anyway, you know, but that has always been probably one of the favorite events of every team member all year, and everyone looks forward to it. Right now, they're fighting over beds and who gets what room and all that stuff, which is kind of fun. But, you know, we actually started with one lake house. Now we rent three, and it's a really cool event. One thing that we start with is actually finding out our agent's survival number. So let's forget about your goal. Okay, the goal is great. Let's have a realistic goal, a stretch goal, all these things. But really, what do we need to pay our bills and make things work? And so we break down, as the weeks go up to the retreat in November, we have them really get really clear on their monthly expenses, whether that's business expenses, personal expenses, you know, how much is your dog food? I mean, we know what their bills are, and we have an allocation form for that. And then we work back with our MREA business planning, you know, numbers and percentages, and we work through that first to figure out how many units do you need at your average sale price, at your average commission, to actually make ends meet next year. So that's where we start. And then we can craft what's realistic and what would be a stretch goal from there.
So you funnel up. So you take all of their information and use that to build heavily influenced on what the team goals
right
for the following year.
Right? Yeah. So we use our people and their personal lives and their personal, you know, strives for success. We use that to build up the whole team goal. We're not just saying Josh and Aaron want to sell 750 houses next year. No, that's not what it's about. It's how do we as a big group individually figure out what's best for ourselves and put that together to mean more and do more together.
And this is, and you know, like if you're in a corporate structure, you're like, hey man, business 101, you guys are, you know, butt backwards on this, right? You got to set the number and then strategically figure out how many people need to sell whatever and then go from there. And we realize this. We realize that we're doing it backwards, but it feels genuine to really concentrate on our folks first, making sure that they can make a living that they're proud of and that they're comfortable with. And then from there, build out, you know, the structure that's going to work for us. It hasn't led us astray.
And so when you're
yet.
Coaching with your agents and you say, okay, you're 50% to your goal, well, how do you know if they're paying rent that month or paying their mortgage payment? You have no idea, right? And we are coaching whole people. We are not just coaching real estate agents. We are coaching the entire people. I mean, if I ever went back to school, which I never will, I probably should be a psychologist or whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what that is. But that's the reality of it. It's like, we are not just coaching you in your real estate business. We are here in the trenches trying to help you with your entire life. And it's been really rewarding to see people buy houses, buy investment properties. We do flips with people. You know, we have other investments coming up that we will be working with our team members. And that's what it's about. So if I know in my one-on-one or, you know, in the one-on-one with one of our team leads with their agents, if that agent's not hitting their survival number, that conversation is way different than just, how are you doing to your goal? No, hey, you're not hitting your survival number. What's the 15th protocol that we need to put into place to get you back on track?
So for those that don't know what that is, what's a 15th protocol?
So 15th protocol, I mean, we use it in, you can use it in a month, you can use it in a year, but 15th protocol is basically at the middle of the month, the 15th day, are you on track to hit your goal for the end of the month? And if not, what's the procedures that you put into place to double down or triple down or whatever it is to get you to the goal? So you're halfway through, you got to audit, you got to see if you're going to hit it. You can't wait till the 25th day of the month and you're behind to make changes. You got to make changes mid-month.
Thank you for that clarity. And I do get it. I think the way you're going about this really makes a lot of sense, right? Like, you can have your vision, okay, because you can always buffer that on top of that. But if you don't fundamentally understand what your people want or need or desire, the rest of it doesn't matter. Because now you've gotten their buy-in, right? You're emotionally connected to them with their goals. How often do you meet with them to talk about Are their goals being met? Has life changed for them? What pressures are they under to be that holistic whole coach that you referenced?
Yeah, so the way we're structured is we have a excuse me, we have a team leader structure, kind of like a market center actually. However, so you know, we could have 5 or 6 team leaders, and underneath them they have their agents, and they meet with their agents either weekly or biweekly, depending on what they've agreed upon. And in those sessions, they will talk about their goals, their financial pieces, what's going on in their life, what have they been doing as far as accountability on lead generation. They're hitting every piece of the pie when it comes to being not just an agent, but, you know, a business owner. And just like KW pounds us, we're not agents, we're business owners, right? We're business owners first. We mimic that same messaging because we grew up in this system, and we really believe that, yes, it's a business first, and then you're an agent second.
A lot of, you know, when we were smaller individual teams, you know, it was a lot of group collaboration decisions. So I think that was one of the hard things moving into a larger organization, that each agent that might have felt like they had a say feels a little less like they have a say now, but we do still try to keep it as collaborative as possible. But I think kind of what Josh is trying to say is that we've created kind of almost a mini ALC with our team leads. And so, like, we have a meeting today that's a leadership meeting, and they'll have some buy-in on some policy changes we have coming up, and we'll discuss some new lead gen, you know, money and different things that we're going to be doing. We're going to start in that room and really get their buy-in, or maybe they'll tell us, we don't want to do that or whatever. So we do respect them a lot. And then we try, you know, if you're not in that group, we try to also include people, but it, at some point we just got to do what's good for the group. Right. So we just try to really make sure people feel like they have a say in planning for next year. We, you know, sent out a kind of a questionnaire on what people want to see in our business planning at the end. And we do it in the first week of November every year. So we try to keep buy-in. We're also like, in a couple weeks, we have completely cleared our schedule for a week, and we'll be meeting with every agent. They'll get an opportunity to meet with Josh and I for their own time that week. Two on one. That sounds bad. Like they're gonna get beat up. And and that's not gonna be necessarily a coaching conversation. That's gonna be, hey, what do we need to know about your life right now? How can we best help you going into 2025? And just giving them, it's really important that we give our people time. And, we didn't really touch on this last week, but with the collaboration, we really probably should not have done that in spring market. We launched right before spring market, and then we're just now kind of our head above water going, okay, what just happened? It was a wild ride. So
so if you guys, and Josh, you just said, hey, I love that you said, hey, I've got my 135 mounted on the wall. Do your individual team leaders and therefore associates underneath them understand and have their own 135 and understand how that funnels up?
100%. Yeah. If anything, like we were talking about our leader crew that we have, we work on their 135s, and then they will then, you know, work on along with their people under them, their 135s. And then we bring it all together in our end of the year retreat, which is going to be in November. So like when we're there, we run KPAs, we run all these different things, you know, we share how people learn and work together. And then we spend a whole from like noon or right after lunch until about 5 o'clock for everyone to refine their 135. Because if anyone's ever done business planning, you know that whatever you wrote down the first day, it's not going to stay that way. Like it's an outline, it's a draft, but then you need to continue to refine, prune the tree, if you will, you know, so that you really get down to what it really needs to be in time so that January, February, and March looks the way that it should.
Last year was behind. The first year we broke out groups into production levels on the team, and that really worked very well. And and you know, me and Josh kind of circled around to each group, and we have a great lender partner as well who was with our top leaders because he's a very high producing person as well, and that worked so well, and they were super excited to do that. All of them have said we want to do that again this year. So you know, we're trying new things every year and see what sticks. But for the most part, our retreat and our business planning has been the same since 2019. And it's really kind of cool that it's worked so well. And we, you know, there's a lot of tears that week. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of, you know, personally.
Oh, gosh, I love that you're so emotional that way, that you're openly willing to cry like that.
I cry. I'm a crier. Nobody knows that. People are like, Aaron's crying. Yeah, I cry. I cried yesterday. You know, but it's just really cool to see everybody come together. And you know, at night we'll do karaoke and whatever else. It's a great time. And it also I'm a numbers person, but I haven't looked at the numbers, but I could tell you without looking at the numbers that our production goes up after that. There's no doubt in my mind, people get just kind of reinvigorated and they walk away from that getting ready to hit the streets and really make sure that is taking off for the first of the year.
So there's a couple things that like, I think are important that you all bring up that are under like the first tier of water. If you want to like dive into something, is that you're bringing up is a lot of structure on things. And like in real estate, you have a bunch of entrepreneurs that don't like structure or routine because it's not sexy. It's like, hey, what's the new thing that's somehow the silver bullet that's going to fix my business, right? And we all recognize that like, no, it's called hard work. It's got overalls and a lunch pail and it's not sexy at all. But the thing about what you're bringing up that I think a lot of people need to understand is the psychology behind plans, is that when you create a plan, the first reason people avoid plans is it usually ties into commitments. Mm. Historically, when you look at the behavior profiles of real estate agents, they don't like committing. They like optionality, right? So what struggles is a lot of planning has to do with, oh man, I'm sitting with Aaron and she's making me commit to something. Because what's happening is, no, what happens if something better comes up, or I want to go do this optionality thing. The other part about that commitment inside of business planning is that now I've vocalized it to either Aaron or Josh, and now I've got my ego tied into the thing. So for those of you listening to like business planning, it actually has to do with commitment, getting away from optionality, and then actually having accountability. That's why people don't like business planning. Because now there's all these like, hey, I opened up the kimono and now you're going to see all this stuff and I can't hide from the accountability, right? Now I got Josh laughing after that one, but if you guys are watching, like, the kimono, like, those are the three things you got to get, right? Now it's that is visual. A visual, probably not a great one. The next thing is that like you get into what you all brought up was like actually like their personal, like, what do I got to survive number, or like, what is that? And what happens is after you get through the structure, those pain points I just brought up, then you get to a place of like, why does this matter to me? What actually, like, because if it's just a goal that Aaron or Josh put out there, I could give two hoots about it. How does it impact me? And then you got to align that business plan to that number that matters to Joe based on my personal life. That's actually impactful when you talk about lifting people up. And then what happens is you're empowering people to have a plan. Now, this is the best part about actually having a plan. Forget the buzzword of business planning or your 135, your GPS, like, let's get out of those platitudes and say, when I give you a plan, you're efficient. You know what winning looks like. You have a scoreboard up there. And when I know what winning looks like, and I know what the scoreboard is, and I know how that impacts my ability to hang out at Lake Anna and know that I'm taking care of my family, that now I know what winning looks like. And now I get confidence. And when I get confidence, momentum builds. I'm able to grow and do things I never thought I could do because now I've got that pullback from confidence of the things that you empowered me to do. Now that's the piece that I think is really like the underlining, like underneath the first like water level, is that like that's where you want to dig into people so they understand the value of what you're bringing them through. Because most of the time they just say, where's the checkbox? Okay, I clicked that off. I clicked that off. I clicked that off. I went through your rigmarole to give you what you want, so you leave me alone. But in reality, if I've got the efficiency of knowing what winning looks like, I don't have to waste any time. I can literally go in and immediately hammer out what I got to do and then actually focus in on the fact that I can go coach, or I can go be present with my spouse or whatever the thing may be, because I actually had a plan. And more often than not, people don't want to commit to a plan, because if they commit to that plan and it doesn't work, it's like, oh, I'm a failure. right? Whereas if I said, oh, I never committed to a plan, right. I never really did that, I can't be held accountable. So there's all this psychological stuff around planning, because then people don't have any wiggle room. They have to do it, or they have to, you know, proverbially shit or get off the pot. And like, you empower people through that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we go through, here's how you win, but how do I go through the psychological planning of what you're bringing people to give them confidence, so they actually unlock the power that's within to become who they want to be. So anyway, I'm off the diatribe, but like, that's what I'm hearing from you guys talk through this, because it's not a sexy topic, but if people understand the undercurrents to it, like they would actually embrace it.
That's right. And the sexy things, the sexy things are not what gets you there. It's the reward at the end.
Well, that you get. You know, when our agents set goals, and we talk about survival, but then of course we're going to pick another goal. But you know, sometimes we have to, like, I want to sell 60 houses. Okay, why? Right. So we go back to our big why. Why are you going to sell? And then once we determine why, it's how, right? And sometimes when you talk through that, we usually talk through that as a group in like Anna, and like, how are you going to do that? They're actually like, okay, do you actually want that lifestyle? Because do you know what the lifestyle is to go grind and sell 60 houses? And I don't think that, you know, that's realistic if you want a work-life balance. Or a lot of people choose to run their business in our platform because they do want that leverage. We're very leverage heavy. And, you know, if you take a listing, a lot of things are done for you, and we have free staging, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, they choose to pay into the team to have some work-life balance, or have balance in general, whatever that looks like for them. And so when you're talking about that, we have agents that sell 60 houses a year. They do. And if you talk to them, you know, they might not have the life that you think that they have. And what does that look like? So those are the deep conversations. And I mentioned the tiers and things like that. We're not just saying, great, your goal's 60. Great. Add that to the total, whatever. We're going to get there. We're going to dig into why you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, and what that means for your family. I took the, you know, the bold letter we used to have to bring home and sign with your, I took that really, I didn't actually do it back then when I was married to my cousin, but whatever, you get the point. I really held on to that and used that with our agents to say, like, hey, does your husband or wife know why you're gone in the evenings, why you're hosting an open house on the weekends? It's really important for them to buy in to what you're going to do for your family and what that's going to look like. Because just like we work with our spouses and our family, they have to understand the commitments at the end of the day. If they don't understand, it's not going to happen.
So. I can hear you.
I think the best part about what Aaron's going into right here, Dave, is that we're so wired to be check the box. What do I do? What do I do? How do I do it? How do I do it? And if you don't pause to ask the why question about why am I putting this many hours in? Why am I doing open houses? Why am I doing phone calls? Why am I doing these different things to generate business for my life, that like eventually wake up one day and wonder, like, what's my purpose? And I think what Aaron's really hammering there is that that's in any great business, when you do have plans and you do have structure and all this type of stuff, the one thing that needs to be resonating above all is, why do we do this? Whether it's for the individual, for the team, for the whole organization. Why does the organization exist? Why does it do what it do? Why does the team exist? Why does it do what it does? Why does the individual exist? And why do they do what they do? And if you can get a symbiotic relationship up and down that channel of why, people now have a North Star they can all talk to. And I think that's the power of what Aaron's bringing up, is that the ability for Aaron to really tie in, why does one residential exist and why does our individual people exist? Then you have alignment throughout the entire organization about the activities that need to be done, so there's actually impact and that the business serves the people that are in it, not that the big people serve the business. I think that's what Aaron, before she cut out with some internet, I was just closing the loop of what Aaron's, because I know you well enough about the impact. I'm just tying back one residential's impact around why people exist and why the business is there, going back to the reason of one residential was a platform to help people thrive. So.
Well, No, that's how it goes sometimes. It's the, you know, the struggles of having a new building. As we wrap today, and I really appreciate your time and your candor and your honesty about all these things, and especially how you're upfront and honest about what's important, your people. When you're setting business and planning and building for the future, and you referenced, hey, we've got five other businesses we're looking to get up off the ground and running. How does that work in your strategy planning of saying, hey, with that means additional growth, so that means more associates or team members or leadership. And when is the time are we building and when are we looking for these people? So you're not behind the curve. Like, how do your metrics fall into place about when it is to kind of pull that next lever?
Yeah, I once heard someone say, you don't hire because you're afraid that you can't do your job. And so when you really think about that, it means if you can commit to lead gen and bringing in the business and you know what it takes to fund the business, then you'll be, you know, okay to hire. But if you're not diligent on that and you don't know how to, you know, what do we call, make it rain? No, I'm just kidding. You don't know how to bring in those deals, then yeah, you're going to be afraid to hire every day, right? I mean, every January, Josh will tell you, I'm like, we're at zero. What do we do? It's almost like imposter syndrome. Can we do that again? How do we get to where we just finished? And I kind of go into scarcity mindset a little bit, which I got to work on. But you know, my husband will joke and be like, we're broke every January. We don't have any money. Like, no vacations. Like, we're broke until, you know, April comes. I'm like, okay, we can breathe a little bit and we're on track, or we're not on track. And, you know, we've made a couple hires this year already. I mean, our support staff has grown quite a bit. And, you know, we are even going That's into awesome. All the changes with NAR and stuff like that. We were hiring. And if we put our scared hat on and said, no, we got to just tighten everything up and we're not sure what's going to happen, then we're actually failing our group of people because we can't support them like we promised.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that everything is on a year growth pattern. So the plan starts a year in advance. We started planning on one residential about a year ago. But the first business that we were going to launch was also brought up at that point in time, which is property management. So even though we've been working through getting one residential off the ground, we still had the idea that this property management company, we're going to start back planning it now, which is going to allow us to launch in the beginning of the year in 2025. So as soon as we get that off the ground, that means that in 2025, first quarter, we're going to start the back plan for 2026. And so we've always been ahead of the curve when it comes to where are we going, and consistently keeping our eyes on the prize, if you will. And I think that it's always that forward look is what keeps us, chopping forward at a good pace.
Well, listen, guys, I can't thank you enough for your time. This two-episode arc with One Residential was being incredibly informative. We appreciate you. And for those of you that are listening, if you were doing a shot of tequila every time we said collaborate, go take a nap. Go make some decisions, but make informed decisions, right? And make the decisions at the right time and not be reactionary. So my name is Dave. What's that? Have somebody to lean on, right, Josh?
Oh, definitely to lean on. And if you got one last final thing, is trust fall into liking our YouTube channel, following our podcast, and stay tuned for. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Entrepreneurial Impact, and tune in next week as we drop every Wednesday.
Bye, everybody. Thanks, guys.